Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
This is a quick recap of where we were, and then I'll catch you up to speed for today. Where we were was, I started in week one, and I basically said there are four words that we're attaching to worship, and I used two different stories that were associated with Jesus. One group worships Jesus. When Jesus walks on the water, he calls Peter out of the boat, and he gets back in their boat, and they worship him, 12 disciples. Later, I used a story where it was 10 lepers were healed. They leave. As they're leaving, they're healed, and only one returns. And Jesus asked the question, weren't there 10 that were healed, but only one comes back to give God worship? And so I attached these words to it. Consecration, which Pastor Billy hammered last week out of Romans 12, 1 and 2, that you would offer your bodies a living sacrifice. I love when Billy said, you are a living body that has a soul, not reversed. And he said, you need to offer your whole living body, not just wait till the end and then, oh, let me say a quick prayer and I'll offer that. No, you offer God your living body. Consecration, adoration, which is what took place in the boat, celebration and participation. And I said to you 2 weeks ago that you're hardwired for worship, whether you believe it or not, however you express it. And I showed you two pictures, Michael Jackson and Taylor Swift, because we are hardwired for worship, whether you worship those two or not. Last week, week two, Pastor Billy said this, we are never not worshiping. We are never not worshiping. He said, we are always directing our attentions, affections, and allegiance towards God, or idols that can never satisfy. I want to read that again. We are always directing our attentions and our affections, even our allegiance towards God or idols that can never satisfy. The definition that we use for the last 2 weeks is behaviors in a believer that reflect the awesome majesty and worth or worship of Almighty and Holy God. Billy said this, and I'll stop with what Billy said. We have a God who is for us, but we have an enemy who is against us. And the enemy of our soul hates worship. Go back to when Jesus comes out of his baptism. He's led into the desert. And at the end of the three things that Satan asked Jesus to do, he looks at him and says, why don't you just bow down and worship me? That's what he wanted. He wanted to be worshiped. So now we're going to get into two new stories today. They're not new, actually, they're old. But they're of two women. One doesn't have a name, the other does. And they're two amazing stories that will teach us about worship. Right before we get into this section of scripture, Jesus has been in four other contentious, are you listening? Contentious battles with religious leaders. And we arrive at Mark chapter 12, and this is the fifth battle that he's in. In fact, he's just told his disciples in the courtyard of women, hey, you guys should be careful of these religious leaders with their flowing robes and their beautiful prayers and their fancy everything, and they think they got it all together because they're taking advantage of widows. And then we arrive at this story. It's a very familiar one, and it's really short, which doesn't mean I'm going to preach shorter. Here we go. Jesus, Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put. And he watched the crowd put their money into the temple treasury. Many, many, we'll get to the many in a second. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came in and she put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. A calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." Did you catch that? He said, what she did, you sum all of the rest of them up. And what she did was more than what all of them did. Is that hyperbole? Jesus, you're just trying to make a point. I tell you guys, my closest followers, you're watching this with me, right? What this lady just did, what she just did, is more than what everybody else in this place did. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Wow. Let's pause. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this is an old story. Most of the people in this room are familiar with it. I need you to speak today. I got some things up here that I think are going to help drive the point home, but your word and your Holy Spirit need to speak today. Get me out of the way. And may your words motivate us, challenge us, encourage us, and search us, oh God, and ask the question for us, are we worshiping with everything we got? In your name I pray. Amen. We worship God with our time. It's an act. We worship God with our talent. We can give that. We worship God with our touch. We give that. And we offer God our treasure. Our time, our talent, our treasure, our touch. Now, here's the truth. Some of you right now are already nervous. What are you nervous about? Well, we have some new people here. It may be their first time here. And if you're a regular attender, you're right now going, I knew there was going to be a Sunday he was going to talk about money. And I invited somebody, and today's the day. And the truth is, all joking aside, I could talk about racism or racial divide. I could talk about pornography. I could talk about sex. I could even stand here for the next 20 minutes and talk about politics, and it would be more palatable for many of us than to talk about money. When you talk about money, we get on edge. It makes us uncomfortable, and we're literally sitting there and we're going, I wonder who next to me might be uncomfortable as the pastor now begins to talk about this subject. And the truth is, I want to alleviate all of that. I'm saying it on the front end so you can exhale. This is not about money. This is about worship. And all of what I'm going to try to do in the next few minutes is to drive home for you the question that you would ask, how's my worship of him? I want to show you a picture that maybe would help you, but before I get to the picture, just so that you would get this in terms of money. Jesus talked about money and finances for more than half of his parables. There are 500 verses in the Bible on prayer. There are less than 500 on faith. There's 2,300 verses in Scripture related to finances and possessions. So obviously, it is a topic that Jesus addressed that is important in Scripture, and it is to be talked about. It is to be studied. It is not to be glorified. But it is a part of who we are, and I believe it's a part of our worship, or it's not. One out of every 7 verses in the New Testament, one theologian said, is related to finances and possessions. That's a lot. I want to show you a picture to help drive home some information about this story. This is the old temple and one section of the old temple. And you will see on the left the Holy of Holies. You'll see the holy place in the middle, and you'll see the outer courtyard. I want to show you another picture. This is the second temple. And I want to just talk to you for a minute about this temple in relation to this story. You'll see over to the left is the court of Gentiles. That's where any non-Jew could be in that place, in that structure, You did not have to be a Jew to be in there. And I want you to see the massiveness of this structure. This is the second temple that was built. And you can look at the renderings of the size of the people related to the size of this structure. I'm going to belabor this point for a reason here. This is an amazing place. The court of Gentiles, no non-Jew could go past that into the women's court, which is where the story we just read takes place. In the court of women, Jewish women could be in that area. There was actually a sign that separated it, and it said to Gentiles, you're not allowed past this point. In fact, there was a really hard punishment if you went past that point. There's the court of Israel. There are 15 steps leading up to where the altar is. And then what the aerial part of what I just showed you in the previous picture is, ultimately, the Holy of Holies. This is a mammoth, massive structure. You can go to the next slide. This is the actual court of women. Just to give you a perspective of how high this would be, in the background, in the Holy of Holies, it would have been 90 feet from top to bottom. This whole structure, listen to me now, was 37 acres. The whole area, 37 acres. If you're wondering about the size of our entire property here, including Hope Distributed and all of the surrounding properties, we don't even have 15 acres. One building, 37 acres. It took 80 years to build. 18,000 soldiers built this structure. It's a mammoth, massive facility. It's Passover week. What's Passover week have to do with this and what's just taken place in this story? Jesus has arrived for Passover week. In fact, the story that we read, you can go to the next picture, is 2 days before Jesus is going to surrender his life. What you're seeing is what's called the porch in the court of women. And we have a lady who has showed up amongst all the other people, and she's decided that she's going to bring her offering in this section. Now, so you would understand what's happening here. The historian Josephus said that during this week, in this moment, there would have been 2.7 million people in Jerusalem. So the scene that you're looking at, well, that looks very peaceful and very calm. It was not. It was chaotic. There were not 2.7 million people in the temple, but there were 2.7 million people in Jerusalem. And you can rest assured, there was a lot of activity. There was a lot of noise. There was a lot of people that were moving in and out of this temple. And Jesus is sitting in this temple, and there are 13 structures. Do you see off to the right? You can go to the next slide. There are 13 trumpet-like structures. They made them like this because they were afraid that people would steal. So they made them a certain way so that people would deposit their money and they could leave their offerings in the receptacles. 13 around the perimeter of this massive structure with people coming, people going, people talking. Remember, Jesus right before this had just cleansed this temple and said, you guys are taking advantage of it. But now here he is. He's sitting at the edge of this temple with his guys and he says to them, and I'm sorry I'm yelling. Do you guys see what just happened here? And they're looking around like, what are you talking about? Did you hear what just happened? A lady shows up, a widow, and she deposits 2 coins. And there's 13 structures. And Jesus looks at his guys and he says, what she just did is more than everyone else in this room. And all that they've brought. It reminds me of when Jesus is standing in the crowd and they're pressing in around him and someone touches his robe and he says, who touched me? And they're like, what do you mean who touched you? There's so many people around you. And then here we are 2 days before he's about to give his own life and Jesus shows up and he says, hey guys, did you see that? Did you hear that? And they're looking at him like, what is he talking about? Did we hear what? Here's what we heard, because there were 13 receptacles. What we heard was, and what Scripture said was, that the rich came in and they They deposited, they threw in 13 receptacles their offerings. Jesus, how'd you get locked in on this? Actually, what she brought was, the key Greek word is lepta. They were old coins. And one writer, I said they were so small and so insignificant, she could have blown them out of her hand. And yet, we have Jesus sitting in this crowded, busy, frenetic-paced room at the peak moment of history for the Jewish faith. And these sounds capture him. They ring out. What does it mean for this widow? If you're sitting here right now because you've seen a clip of this, or you've thought in your mind you've seen a picture of this, we automatically assume she's old. How do we know she's old? I mean, if she's old, she's on a fixed income. So Jesus, do you not care about that? What if she was young? Because it could be that she was young and she'd probably be still in the same position. What would that position be? She had lost her husband, which meant she'd lost her earning power. She had no earning power. And yet, this lady shows up and she just... and it catches the eye and the ear of Jesus. One other reason, real quick, that is amazing is there's so many other people who have showed up to see Jesus because he had just raised Lazarus. And people are coming and they're going, where is this guy? We want to see him. And in the middle of all the madness, Jesus does not miss this. It's a no-name widow. Listen, if you've checked out, check back in. She has no name, but Jesus' Father knows her name. And we have it recorded for us. Listen to what the scripture says. Are you listening? Jesus positioned himself so he could see what people gave. And right now, without making anybody feel guilty, Jesus is in a position where he can see what people give. He's not sitting at the gate called beautiful, but he knows. Oh boy. Luke chapter 12, here's what it says. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've heard this misquoted so many times. Most people say it like this. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's obvious to me, her treasure has spilled out of her heart. By Jewish law, by the way, she didn't have to take two and drop two. She had two. It was all she had left. She only needed to leave one. And then she could have left. But instead, she leaves both. We have a former pastor who used to say this quite often. It's not equal gifts. It's equal sacrifice. It's not equal gifts. Your time, your talent, your treasure, your touch. Some of us are 10 talent people. And we're offering 3 talents. Some of us got lots of time and we're offering like 20%. Some of us have plenty of money and we're offering, oh, we'll stand with our hands in the air and we'll give God praise. But what are we offering him? In our time, our talent, our treasure, and our touch. There are 3 ways, by the way, just quickly, that you could live financially. I'm not going to spend much time on this. 15 seconds. You give first, you save second, you live on the rest. Give first, save second, live on the rest. The problem is for most of us, we have it flipped. We live first, save second, and we give what's left over. And the reality is this, people, 2/3 of those are still for you. How are we doing with our worship? One more scripture. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and sex. You cannot serve both God and power. You cannot serve both God and fame. Y'all are looking at me like, dude, you can't read. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't. But some of us, and the reason I'm saying this, we got a lot of people who show up on our four campuses. We have a lot of people who aren't giving. We have a lot of people who are doing more than their fair share. But we have a lot of people who are, how much? How much? This lady brought all that she had. She brought an offering. Now, there's another lady in Scripture. I'm going to read you the story, and then I'm going to show it to you. And here it is. 6 days before the Passover, so right before this, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor, and Martha was serving while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. Then Mary took a pint of pure spikenard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. But one of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why hasn't this perfume been sold and the money been given to the poor? It's worth a year's wage. What are we doing here? Remember, he's the treasurer. He's worried about the finances. He's counting beans and pennies. He did not say this because he cared about the poor. What you're about to see is the Chosen's version of what I just read to you. And I want you to lock in on Mary. And I want you to lock in on what she locks in on. Because there's a lot going on around Mary. Mary's not paying any attention to it. We have a widow who shows up with no name. Worship. We have another lady who shows up and she has a name. Worship. Watch this.
Of you, but to do justice and to love kindness
and to walk humbly with your God. Yes, but how do you harmonize that with the parting conclusion of Kohelet in the Ketuvim? The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another.
What of the temple? The sacrifices, the law, the feasts? Are not keeping these how nations will know we are God's people?
The temple, the sacrifices, the law, the feasts, all fulfilled in me.
You would do away with them?
I said fulfilled, not done away.
I don't understand the difference.
Keeping the law is a response to God's love. But now that I am here, there is...
What is the matter? Where have you been?
You were saying about the law. What's going on? Who is this?
My sister, Mary.
Mary!
Spikenard.
Mary, what are you doing?
Yes.
You're letting your sister touch his feet. That's degrading.
Have you heard nothing of what the teacher has said?
All right, this is enough. Jesus.
Once again, Shmuel, there is no law in Torah commanding that a woman cover her hair. It's just tradition.
You're commending her? Excusing her?
Shmuel, we don't know this family. It's not our place.
Blessed are you, King of the universe, for you have done all things well.
Blessed are you, King of the universe, for you have done all things well. And I don't care what this costs me. And I don't care who's talking in the room. I'm locked in on him because he's worthy of my worship. So we have one with no name, and she shows up and she deposits her worship. And we have another who shows up with a really expensive offering and cost in her worship. How you doing with your worship? One final scripture as we close. That day, Gad came to King David, and he said to him, "You should go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite." So David went to do what the Lord had commanded him. And when Arunah saw King David coming towards him and his men, he came and he bowed down before King David. And he said, "Why have you come, King?" David replied, "I've come to buy your threshing floor. I need this threshing floor. I want to build an altar here to the Lord so that he will stop the plague." "Take it, my lord," said the king. "Use it as you wish. Here are oxen for the burnt offerings, and you can use the threshing boards, and you can have wood, and you can have this." And he just said, "Just take all of it. We're just glad that you came. You can have it for free, David." And David responded with this, 2 Samuel 24:24. But the king replied, "No, I insist on buying it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing." There's a cost in worship. Are you interested in paying for that cost? There was a lady who showed up, and her worship sounded like that. And I thought about why this would have captured Jesus' ear. And I'm wondering if it wasn't because in 2 days, that same sound, essentially, was going to ring out. And he knew all about emptying yourself and there being a cost. Stand with me. Pastor Billy last week talked about Abraham taking his son Isaac up on the mountain, and he said, "Stay here. The boy and I are going to go over and worship." That was on Mount Moriah. David went later, and he wanted to buy this same piece of property, Mount Moriah. This story that we read this morning, where a widow shows up in the temple, was located on Mount Moriah. Worship. Wow. If you came in today, you were given 2 pennies. And here's how I want you to respond if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, not if Kevin's twisting your arm. First of all, if you don't have 2 pennies, raise your hand. And I have ushers that are going to come, and they're going to give you 2 pennies. The Jewish law would have said, don't be bashful. If you don't have 2 pennies, raise your hand, we'll give them to you. The Jewish law would have said she could have come and she would have only had to give 1, but she left both. I have cans around the room. I want you to remember this day. I want you to remember this message. I want you to be challenged by God's word. And I want to give you an opportunity today to go and offer your worship. You got 2 pennies. Would you just come and would you just respond? We have cans on the side. We have cans in the front. Would you just offer God at least 1 penny? And maybe you keep the other penny and you take it with you and you put it somewhere. And it's just a reminder for you. It's not about money. Obviously, what she gave was nothing really. And yet, she gave it all. And Jesus looks at her and he said, did you guys catch that? She gave it all in worship. What does Mary do? She shows up and she just dumps it all over his feet. She gives it all. So when we start singing here, this is your chance. Just in an act of your own surrender and worship. Hey, God, here's a penny. It's yours. I'm yours. A living sacrifice. It's my reasonable act of worship today. You respond if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.